conversation, overheard as she cleaned a sink. Before long, as she dusted a sitting room or defrosted a fridge, she noticed people were telling her their stories. Perhaps they always had done, but now it is different. Now the stories are reaching out, and she gathers them to her. She knows she is a receptive vessel. As she listens to the stories, the small nod she gives acknowledges what she knows to be true, that for many, she is a simple, homely bowl into which they can pour their confidences. Often the stories are unexpected. At times they're funny and engaging. Sometimes they are steeped in regret, and sometimes they are life-affirming. She thinks maybe people talk to her because she believes in their stories. She delights in the unexpected and swallows their exaggerations whole. At home at night, with a husband who swamps her with speeches rather than stories, she thinks about her favourites, savouring each of them in turn. Chapter 1. The Start of the Story. Monday has a very particular order. Laughter to begin with, sadness towards the end of the day. Like mismatched bookends, these are the things that prop up her Monday. She has arranged it this way on purpose, as the prospect of laughter helps her get out of bed and strengthens her for what comes later. Janice has discovered that a good cleaner can pretty much dictate their days and hours, and importantly, for the balance of her Monday, the order in which they do their cleaning on a particular day. Everyone knows reliable cleaners are hard to come by, and a surprising number of people in Cambridge seem to have discovered that Janice is an exceptional cleaner. She's unsure about the accolade exceptional, overheard when one of her employers had a friend in for coffee. She knows she's not an exceptional woman. But is she a good cleaner? Yes, she thinks. She is that. She has certainly had enough practice. She just hopes this isn't going to be the sum story of her life. She cleaned well. As she gets off the bus, she nods at the driver to distract herself from this increasingly recurring thought. He nods back, and she has the fleeting impression that he is going to say something. But then the bus doors sigh, as if exhaling, and shutter closed. As the bus pulls away, she's left looking across the road to a long, leafy avenue of detached houses. Some of the windows of the houses gleam with light, others are shaded and dark. She imagines there are many stories hidden behind all those windows, but this morning she is only interested in one. It is the story of the man who lives in the rambling Edwardian house on the corner, Geordie Bowman. She doesn't think her other clients have ever met Geordie, and she knows they're unlikely to meet through her. That is not how Janice thinks her world should work. But of course, they have heard of Geordie Bowman. Everyone has heard of Geordie Bowman. Geordie has lived in the same house for over 40 years. First, he took a room as a lodger, the rents in Cambridge being considerably cheaper than they were in London, where he was working. Then, eventually, when he married, he ended up buying the house from his landlady. He and his wife could not bear to throw the other tenants out, so his growing family lived alongside a mixture of painters, academics, and students, until one by one they moved out of their own accord. That was when the fight for the newly vacant room would start.
John, now he was the cunniest,
Geordie often recalls with pride.
He just moved his stuff in before they'd even finished packing.
John is Geordie's eldest and now lives in Yorkshire with a family of his own. The rest of Geordie's brood are scattered around the world, but visit whenever they can. His beloved wife Annie has been dead for several years, but nothing has changed in the house since she left it. Each week, Janice waters her plants, some now as big as small bushes, and she flicks the dust from her collection of novels by American writers. Geordie encourages Janice to borrow these, and occasionally she takes Harper Lee or Mark Twain home with her to join her selection of comfort reading. Geordie has the door open before she can reach for her key.
They say timing's everything,
he booms at her. Geordie is built on magnificent lines with a voice to match.